And Father, we lift you our hearts tonight. Oh, Master. Yes, take our hearts tonight in exchange for yours. Take everything, Lord. We surrender it all. We ask for your forgiveness, for your mercies, your grace, your counsel, correction, and direction. For we are undone without you, Lord, but in you we are one. Master, take your rightful place. Fill us with your spirit. Wash us with the blood of the Lamb. Loose us from the bonds of entanglements and affairs of this world and the deceptions of darkness. Loose us from the fears that grip us, from the past that holds us, and from the present that deceives us. Have mercy, have mercy, have mercy, and let grace fall in this place. Let grace, oh yes, impart grace into each and every one of us, Lord. Increase grace. We welcome grace. Oh, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Freedom. Freedom, Lord. Please increase your presence. Increase your presence. And bring us deeper tonight. Bring us to the place where it's no longer we that live, but you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things the Spirit has just been sharing with me is the desire He has for us to have a deeper life. And we always look at a deeper life associated with the physical. But a deeper life associated with the physical isn't a deeper life. Because when you associate a deeper life with the physical, then what you usually do is look upon materialism. You look upon bank accounts. You look upon, you know, all of the other things of carnality. Not that they're bad, but there's an area where God is desiring to bring us to a deeper life. And I've just been led right now just to do a little shift. So I want us to go to Psalm 6 or Proverbs 16. In Proverbs 16. You know, there's something about a deeper life that is so needed as believers, because in this deeper life, one of the things that happens to us is not only we become hidden. In other words, we become hidden from the world. You know, when the storms come, you know, sometimes you can't get above the storm. So you have to get below it. Are you listening? And so many times we're fighting to get above it and try and ride it, when God is not allowing us to ride the storm, He's saying, I want you to go deeper now. Why? So the storm passes over you. And sometimes storms come in our life for it causes us to go deeper. Does everybody get this? And we don't realize it sometimes, and we're trying to rise above the storm and ride the storm. What are you saying? No. I want you to go deeper. And in this area of going deeper, what He's trying to bring to us is a deeper life. And in Proverbs 16, in verse 1, it says, the preparations of the heart belong to a man, but the answer of the tongue is from who? The Lord. So we have this tendency to always try to prepare things. I had a gentleman write me a letter, and he said something about preparation. He says, I've got to have everything planned out. I've got to know every, you know, he said he's in prison. The guy doesn't get out until 2011. 12, I don't know. Anyways, he's got over a year, and he's writing us and asking us about, man, I need to find out if you have a place for me. And so, of course, I replied in a simple little message, besides teachings that were sent to him about you need to trust, rest, and wait, and be anxious for nothing. And, you know, but he had some saying of something about a person that makes plans can avoid certain things. I'm like, oh, really? Usually a person that makes plans and stands on the plans usually gets in trouble, because then their person isn't willing to make the shift with the Lord. They're going to stand on what they're doing. It says in verse 2, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits. He said, commit your works to the Lord and your thoughts will be what? Established. So in these things, you know, we have these tendency of plans. And an individual that is always holding on to their plan can never go deeper. Because we must be individuals that are willing to release our plan to go deeper. Are you listening? Is everybody okay? Go to verse 9. It says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Oh, hallelujah. Now, there's something that always tells us that we've got to do it the way we feel like it or whatever. And sometimes we even believe that it's from God, and it may start off with God, but then the Lord may say, okay, stop there and make a shift. But then there's something that we hold on to, and it's called pride. And in verse 18, it says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Better to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than divide the spoil with the proud. So in this, there's an area where we've got to be careful not to make our plans happen. We've got to come to an area where letting things happen. Sometimes God, in other words, in this, the word says that we're to sow. In other words, one plants, one waters, but God gives the increase. There's a part in our life, in this plan, in each specific project or whatever you're doing, that you have to sometimes step back and let it happen and stop trying to make it happen. And we've talked about this before. In other words, we in this deeper life that God wants to bring us, we're always acknowledging that God is making a way. God is always making a way. No matter what it is, God is always making a way. Are you listening? It's important. He's always, and sometimes answers can come a year later. Sometimes they can come for, and you just have no idea, but you know you hold on to God is making a way. And have a deeper life, you must have a deeper commitment. The deeper life is leveled by your deeper commitment. If you're an individual that is totally committed and deeply committed, you're going to have a deeper life. If you're an individual that is just getting by and accepting what's what and just surface commitment, you know, and want to be good in front of people, but when you're away from people, you're a different person, well, that's not a committed life, and you will not have a deeper life. But there's an area where we're always acknowledging that God, because see, an individual that is deeply committed is always acknowledging, knowing that God is making a way. Somehow, somewhere, you know, people come to me and say, well, what are you going to do about this? And I'll say, I don't know, but I will. In other words, I don't have to know it right now. My relationship with the Lord is not on a need-to-know basis. It's on a trust basis. In every area, man, there's things I don't know what's going to happen, but I will. I will. Why? Because I know He's trying to work something in my life. And because I know He's trying to work something in my life, I know He's trying to work a deeper life in my life. So there's areas where we've got to be committed no matter what is going on. Now we know that the enemy will always try to move us out. in every way, in every possible, any way possible. Same thing with worship. There must be a commitment in worship that you're willing to seek, not play religion, hello, but seek. You'll be willing to sow. That's why it's so important about when we're praising and worshiping, you're singing, not gazing, not being religious, and letting the music sing for you. That stinky religion. You're to sow in the Spirit so you can go deep. And there's only one reason why an individual isn't willing to sow, because the spirit of Antichrist is preventing that person to have a relationship with the anointing. Are you listening? Hallelujah. So in this, God wants to bring us into a deeper life. And it is important. Why? Because I don't know if you've noticed or not, but there's a lot more storms going on. There's storms everywhere. I mean, there's earthquakes. I mean, and we know that if whatever is manifesting in the natural realm, you know, has started spiritually. There's earthquakes. There are things shaking that, you know, God says He's going to allow things to shake until everything is shaken loose. So in this, we know that God is desiring a deeper life for me and you. But of course, we know that we must cooperate with the Spirit of grace, which is the plan of God. Turn to John 10. So how many of y'all want a deeper life? Praise God. Then you better ask. Lord, I want a deeper life. For I bless somebody. And John chapter 10. And verse 7. Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. Now I want to throw something in here. I am the door to the deep. He's not only the door. He's not only your door, because he says, I'm your door. But what is he your door to? He's your door to the deep things of God. He's your door to a deeper life, isn't he? All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and he will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it what? More abundantly. That's called deeper life. He is the door to the deeper life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we've heard this before in verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man. The things which what? God has prepared for those who what? What do you think that might be? A deeper life. But God has revealed them to us through His what? Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the what? Deep things of God. Why? Because He's trying to bring you to a deeper life. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God, because you have a choice. He will never force you to go deeper. He will invite you. He'll open the door. He'll say, come on, let's go a little bit deeper. I know you're in that storm. I see it. I know you're struggling with this. I know you're struggling with that. Come on, let's go a little deeper. Why do we want to go a little deeper? So that you can go underneath the storm. See, these storms sometimes cause us to go deeper. These things in verse 13, we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the what? Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now listen, you know, so many times when we go through stuff, one of the things that we go to is the wisdom of carnality. Instead of going deeper and getting the wisdom of God. So what we do then is we begin to weigh the scales according to what we see and not what we don't see. And then we don't make what is unseen to become seen. We allow what is unseen to motivate us in this realm. And it prevents us from going deeper. Understand that the enemy does not want you to go deeper, because where did Jesus go? He went deep. And kicked butt. See, so the devil knows that if you go deeper, you're going to kick his butt. See, but Christianity, you know, is a representation of Christ-like. It's not a religion.
Hello?
So to be Christ-like means that we should go deeper. This is not a surface thing here. This is not a religion. Religion is surface. Religion carries false humility. Religion. And we are not religious. We're to be free. But in this freedom, there should be a desire to want to go deeper. There should be a desire to want to know Him more. And God is willing to release to us the deeper things of Him. And even in the circumstances and trials that you go through, God always brings a revelation to you and reveals to you who He is. As long as you allow Him to. See, but so many times the enemy moves God's children out of position, and they never get the revelation of who He is because they're too busy doing it themselves. And they can't go deeper. And verse 14, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself rightly is judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, but he may instruct him? But we have the what? Mind of Christ. To have a deeper life is to know the deep things of God on a spiritual level, not a physical. Has everybody got it? On a spiritual level. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. You know, the word says that the Lord does exceedingly above, far above all we could ever ask or think. Ask or think. Ask or think. Ask or think. You know, we've talked about in the area where the word says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And in this, God knows what our needs are, doesn't He? So if you'll go beyond your needs. See, needs are always established to prevent you from going deeper. Needs are like a bobber, you know, when you're going fishing. You know the thing that bobs in the water? That's a need. But where's the bait at? Where's the real thing at? Where's the catch at? It's deep. So in this, an individual, the enemy always wants to try to promote so much need in an individual's life. Well, I need this and I need that. And they're so involved in need that they're bobbing. And usually an individual that's in so much need, they're up and down, up and down, up and down anyways. So they're a bobber. Hello. But God wants to bring us to that place where the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not lack. Why? Because He is your shepherd. You know, when we stop asking for all the things that we need and start doing intercession for the things of others' needs and things for the kingdom, God is going to provide for you far above all you could ever ask or think. Has everybody got that? I'm going to give you a simple little example of a strange thing that happened to me. I mean, there always seem to strange things happening. But anyways, about 10 years ago, I was working on my wife's car, and she had this Toyota, and I was changing the brakes because we didn't have, you know, enough money to do things and so forth. So, and it was real cold out, and I was shivering, and I'm thinking, man, and I was trying to unloosen this thing, and I had one of these wrenches that was just a piece of garbage. And I was getting frustrated. I was getting in the flesh, and I can sense myself getting in the flesh, and the Holy Spirit saying, back off, guy. Come on, back off. Let it down and rest. And that thing slipped, smashed my face. Punched me right in the mouth. I was bleeding everywhere. And I was talking like this. I went, oh my God. And I realized my tooth was on the concrete. And I knocked out this tooth. And I go, oh Lord. And now, you know, it's 2 days before Christmas. I get, and now this is late at night, and I get up the next morning and go, Lord, please have mercy upon me. You want me to go preach and go teach? I can't spit on everybody while I'm talking. So I said, please leave me where I'm supposed to go. I had $25 to my name. That's it. It was my weekly allowance. But I didn't have nothing else. So I did Yellow Pages Roulette. Yeah. All right, let's see. Anyone? Wasn't a dentist. So I kept looking, and I found one close. So I said, okay, I'll give this one a go, Lord. You always lead me from one to another, so I'll start here. So I went to this one place, and the guy says, oh, well, this, and that. Well, it's $25 for the examination. I said, all right. So I thought, all right, man, the Lord's going to show me favor here. Praise God. So I give the guy my last $25. He examinates me, and he's looking at me. He says, aren't you in pain? I said, no, I decreed that already when my tooth was on the ground and I was bleeding everywhere. So, of course, I picked my tooth up and put it back in my pocket. And so I figured maybe they could just glue it. I don't know. So I go to this dentist, this guy, whatever you call him. He was higher, another level of a dentist. I don't know what you call those guys. So he comes back out and he goes, well, that'll be about $600 down. And it's going to cost you about this much. I said, what? So give me my tooth back. I took my tooth back. I walked out of that place. I said, man, I just got taken for $25, Dad. Now what am I going to do? I don't have any money at all. What am I going to do? He said, call this person. So I called this person. I said, listen, do you know anybody, any dentist, anyone that does and helps? And he says, you know, I just happen to know somebody. So I called this dentist, and I go over there, and I pull out my tooth, and I show him my tooth. He says, aren't you in pain? I said, no, I'm not in pain. And quit saying that. Because it was busted off almost to the root. And he said, well, you know, I really don't have time. He says, it's going to take a long time. I said, please, can't you just try to glue it on or something? He says, well, let me see. So he puts me in the chair, and he fools with it, and he does this, mixes up some stuff and puts it in. He says, oh, it fits pretty good still. I said, yeah. Anyways, he says, hold on, and puts it in there, and puts his blue light on it, and boop, you know. And he brings me a mirror, and I smiled without spitting. I said, awesome, man. I was kissing this guy. I'm like, thank you. I said, oh, how much? And he said, Merry Christmas. I said, yes! So that was 10 years ago. In between 10 years, I went and had my teeth cleaned and bleached, you know, whatever they do. Took out all the stuff. So that tooth that was still there wouldn't change any color. So I got all of these other nice white teeth, but this yellow nasty one up there. So I said, Lord, one day we're going to fix this tooth. So the other day, I woke up in the morning, and I realized that there was a tooth floating in my mouth. And I spit it out because it was way early in the morning. Put it on the bedstand and realized, I went, oh, no, I ain't even going there now. I turned around, over and went back to sleep, and then I got up and I was hoping it was a nightmare. But it wasn't. So I went and called my new dentist, and he took me in, and I said, Lord, you know, and so I had the money to pay for it, and it wasn't much at all. And he remade me a whole new tooth and everything, and he matched up all the colors. And I wasn't spitting on myself or anybody else anymore, and it was... And I was leaving there, and I was thinking the Lord, and he says, do you remember? I said, what? He says, do you remember you always wanted the color of that tooth changed? He says, I know you wouldn't have done it any other way. It had to come out. And I know you weren't about to pop it out. See, he does far above all you could ever ask or think. Now, of course, in my trial, I'm thinking, oh, God. I mean, this, how much, this, and everything just... And then, of course, I had to step back and say, okay, I'm just going to have to let this happen, leave me. And the people made way for me. They were so nice, this, that, whatever. And I left there with all the same color teeth. And to God be the glory. You know why? Because I knew he was working something to the good. I knew he's always making a way. And whatever we're doing, he's always, no matter what's going on in your life, he's always making a way. And even when you don't think he's making a way, when you forgot all about it, years later, he's still making a way what you forgot. Are you listening? That's why he's a dad. And that's why he's God. Praise God. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7. Would you read it with me? Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builder rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they also were appointed. But you are a what? Chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you what? Out of darkness. He called you and me out of darkness. You didn't call yourself out. He called you out into his marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, as sojourners and what? Pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. You know, one of the things in this here is that he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. In other words, he called us out of darkness into a deeper life. He's always calling us out into a deeper life. It doesn't stop. Now, deeper understanding of life's existence is a deeper life. What we're trying to get is a deeper understanding of life's existence. The life that is not seen, but the life that, hello, not seen. The life that is what? Unseen. That's a deeper life. The deeper life that is not seen to you in the natural realm, which is truly existence. And always has been. The life that gives life. See, we want to have a deeper understanding of the life that's not seen. Not that the life that is seen, but the life that is not seen. We want to have a deeper understanding of that existence, of that life that is unseen to us. And the only one that can do it is the Spirit of the living God. Because he is what reveals things which is unseen. Everybody understand that? Go to Psalm 33. Psalm 33. Would you read it with me? Starting at verse 6. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and all the hosts of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathers the waters of the sea together as heap, and he lays up the what? He lays up the what? Deep where? In storehouses. In other words, there are deep things for me and you of God, of the existence of life that is unseen to us, that have been laid up in storehouses waiting for me and you to access. It says, let all the earth what? Fear the Lord, and let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. The Lord brings the counsel of the nations to nothing. He makes the plans of the people of no effect. Yeah. The counsel of the Lord stands forever. The plans of his heart to all generations. Blessed is a nation whose God is the Lord, and the people he has chosen as his own inheritance. So there are storehouses of deep things of him waiting for me and you to access. Is everybody okay? Everybody got it? He's laid up the deep things in storehouses, the deep things of God, or the secrets to bring a deeper life of existence. To bring a what? Deeper life of existence. Go to Psalm 42. Psalm 42 and verse 7. Psalm 42 and verse 7, what does it say? Deep calls on to what? Deep. At the noise of your waterfalls, all your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me. A prayer to the God of my life. In other words, deep. The spirit within you is always calling out on the deep. See, he's always trying to bring us to a deeper life in everything. He always wants to get us beyond what we see. He always wants to bring us to the place where it's so deep in the storehouses, so that we have this deeper life. You know, we talked Sunday about the spirit of life. He is life. And he's trying to bring us a deeper life by bringing us to the places where the storehouse of the deep things of God are, the secrets of God, the revelations, the impartations, the area where faith grows dramatically because you're able to see spiritually. You're not setting your mind or your heart set in the things of the tangible, but that which is unseen, because that will perish. But the deep things will never perish. The storehouse of the deep waits for me and you. Deep is calling. And I want you to understand that it's the storehouse of the deep that's calling unto the deep to bring us to the storehouse. Deep calls unto the deep. Yes. Luke 5. Luke chapter 5. Jesus gives us a powerful example about deep. In verse 1, so it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. And when he had stopped speaking, he turned and said to Simon, launch out into the what? Deep. And let down your nets for a what? Catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet on his knees and saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also was James and John and the son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to the land, they forsook all and followed him. Why? Now they became committed. And how did it start? What did Jesus say? Let's go a little bit deeper. Okay, you heard me preach. Now, we pushed out it because he didn't want the people to press in. He wanted them to listen. He knew they wouldn't walk into the water. So he was there. But what he was telling the people, but then he turned to the ones who were close to him, who were where? In the boat. And he said, okay, now you've heard this, but let's go a little deeper. Throw the net in there. Oh, man, but we've been listening to you all day long, and it's been real nice. And your words are really awesome. But, Lord, come on, we've fished here all night long. We're tired. We want to go home. But, okay, if you say so, we'll do it. And when they obeyed, they caught, let me tell you, that catch in that one day was the largest catch they ever caught. And it blew their minds away. See, because when we go deep, there is a response, there is a reflection, there is a ripple effect that happens in our life that not only affects you, but others around you. It is life-changing. See, but the one thing is everybody, is so many times people get complacent and lazy. They begin to compromise. They begin to be content with just surface things. And never willing to go deeper. But I'm telling you right now, God is requiring us to go deeper. He's requiring us. The deep things of God is calling out for me and you. Go to Daniel 2. Daniel chapter 2. In verse 19, it says, "Then the secret was what? Revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven." In other words, a deep thing was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Most likely while he was sleeping during a dream. "And Daniel answered and said, 'Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his, and he changes the times and the what? Seasons.'" In other words, he does a shift. "He removes kings and raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals what? Deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might and have now made known to me what we asked of you. For you have made known to us the king's demand." So we see that revealed deep things are the secrets that God has prepared for me and you. Each individual, there are certain deep things that God has prepared for you to go to the storehouse and get them so that you have a deeper life. And it is essential at this point in time that we go deeper. I want to share 8 things that are important in Philippians 3. So these 8 things will assist us in a deeper life. Philippians chapter 3. 8 meaning new beginnings. Philippians chapter 3. Is everybody there? And verse 17. Would you read it with me, please? Brethren, join in following my example and note those who walk as you have for us a what? Pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on what? Earthly things. For our what? Citizenship is where? In heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. Something very important we must do. And this is the first thing, and it's that we must maintain an area where we acknowledge our true citizenship. You acknowledge your true citizenship. What do you mean? I'm acknowledging my true citizenship of the eternal kingdom. I'm rejecting my permanent citizenship of worldliness. So if I'm acknowledging that I don't belong here, that I'm actually a citizen of an eternal kingdom, it's going to always keep me looking beyond here. Does everybody understand that? I will always, in other words, you must acknowledge this. I acknowledge that I am a citizen of the eternal kingdom. And I'm rejecting what the enemy wants to label me as, a permanent citizen of worldliness. Go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. Read it with me, please. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an what? An inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In other words, in this acknowledgement of your true citizenship of an eternal kingdom, we also acknowledge with this that we have an inheritance, and that is our inheritance. In other words, you have inherited eternal things. You've inherited those things that are in the storehouses that are deep as a part of your inheritance. They are available for you, so that you can live a deeper life. So we're to acknowledge our true citizenship and our inheritance. That's the first thing. The second thing, I want to go to Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Verse 1. Read it with me. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on the earth. For you what? For you what? For you what? You died. Say, I died. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Man, that scripture just alone ought to be pasted over everything. You died, and your life is hidden in Christ. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. So the second thing we want to be able to constantly do is acknowledge that we are dead. I am dead. I died, and my life is now hidden in Christ, which makes me an eternal citizenship with an inheritance. Go to chapter 2 in verse 20. Would you read it with me? Therefore, if you died with Christ from the basic principles of the world, why, as though living in the world, do you subject yourselves to regulations? Do not touch, do not taste, do not handle, which all concern things which perish with the using according to the commandments and doctrines of men. These things indeed have an appearance of wisdom and self-imposed religion, false humility, and neglect of the body, but are of no value against the indulgence of the flesh. Wow. So he's saying here, listen, if you are dead and you're acknowledging that you're dead, you are reckoning yourself to be dead, then why are you still trying to keep yourself alive? According to the things of carnality. Is everybody okay? So that's the second thing. What? For a deeper life. The third, Psalm 36. Psalm 36. In verse 1. Psalm 36, verse 1. An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked, there is what? No fear of God before his eyes. For he flatters himself in his own eyes, and when he finds out his iniquity and when he hates, he makes excuses. The words of his mouth are wickedness and deceit. He has ceased to be wise and to do good. He devises wickedness in his bed. He sets himself in a way that is not good, and he does not abhor evil. In other words, there's in this here, the third thing we must do is maintain a level of fear or reverence to the Lord. That's reverence, honor, and respect, and hate evil. Because if you're maintaining a reverence, honor, and respect to the Lord, which is the fear of the Lord, you will hate evil. Because evil will not reverence or respect or honor the Lord. In fact, what it does is mock. In Psalm 25. In verse 14. Psalm 25 and verse 14. Would you read it with me? It says the what? The secret of the Lord is with those who what? Fear him, and he will show them his what? Covenant. In other words, he's going to show you the inheritance. It says his secret. In other words, the deep things are available to those who reverence, honor, and respect him, and those who hate evil. Why? So that you and I can have a deeper life. A deeper life. See, an individual that, and of course I know that there's a different level of maturity because as babies in Christ and we're growing and growing and we're learning and learning. And there are things that people still do sometimes that, but in hope that if you're reverence towards the Lord and you're carrying the fear of the Lord, conviction will come. But you'll know his conviction is there to prevent us from doing something that is going to cause even worse problems. The Bible says that the Lord chastens those he loves. And anyone who hasn't been chastened isn't considering his real child. So in this area, God is going to chase us and correct us in every area. And sometimes it doesn't feel so good. But your relationship with the Lord is not about a feeling. Your relationship with the Lord is about a pleasing and a trusting relationship. So in this, we must have that area where that we maintain a level of the fear of the Lord and a level of hatred of evil. Why? Because he will release to you deep things. And you won't even have to ask for it. He'll bring it to you. Because deep is always calling on to deep. That deep is calling on to this deep to bring you into another deep place so that you can have a deeper life. And by understanding the life that exists beyond what you see will create you in a deeper life on this side. Number four, Romans 10. Romans chapter 10. In verse 1. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law, the man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who will ascend or who will descend into the abyss, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. One of the fourth thing that we want to talk about is confessions bring possessions. In other words, you are speaking light. As you're speaking light and these confessions are coming, it's actually opening the door to the deep. Is everybody with me? As you're speaking and speaking and you're confessing, you're decreeing, you're confessing, it's actually opening the door to the deep. Because the Bible says that the word is a lamp unto my feet and a what? Light unto my path. Hallelujah. And the fifth thing, Galatians 5. Verse 16. Galatians 5, 16. Would you read it with me? I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you don't do the things that you desire. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. In verse 24, and those who are Christ have what? Crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit, and let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. So we see here that walking in the Spirit is to be led by the Spirit and guided by the parameters or boundaries that He's established in our life. See, He has set parameters and boundaries in our life. And in these parameters and boundaries that He's set in our life, in other words, you'll find that the more you're walking with the Lord, you'll find out the more things get narrow. In other words, what you used to get away with, God is saying, no more. No more. Put the music down. No more. Put those programs down. No more. I've allowed you to get away with that, but now I want to bring you deeper. If you're not willing to go deeper, then you're on your own. Hello. Why? Because He's trying to bring us deeper so the storms don't blow us out. And you know, you'll find an individual, and I'm telling you, I know testimony, I've seen so many things happen. All of a sudden, an individual, you'll start seeing them backsliding more and more because they're listening to music they shouldn't. Or they get a phone and they're now listening, they're on the phone more than what they should be. Now their source is the phone and the secular music. And they're feeling good about it because it's causing them a false sense of security. And the enemy is slowly snaring them out. And now they start beginning to watch TV programs they shouldn't be watching because there's much garbage and perversion on TV. And now it's beginning to prevent that individual from going deeper. Now what happens is now they don't, in that area, now the enemy's now moving them away from the importance of fellowship and corporate. And they're putting other things before God. And in this, we've got to be careful because the Word tells us that the serpent is the most cunning beast God created. He knows exactly how to move on an individual. He knows how to cause you to get offended. He knows how to twist words. He knows how to promote yourself so he can bring pride. He knows how to get you lazy and compromise and justify. He knows how to bring you to all of these areas. Because the one thing he doesn't want you to do is to go deeper. Because if he can prevent you from going deeper, he knows that you can't have a deeper life. And he knows that you can't damage him. Has everybody got it? Is everybody okay? So in this, we want to walk. In other words, we want to be led by the Spirit. It's essential to be led by the Spirit and obey the parameters and boundaries that he's established in your life. And when he starts telling you that's enough of that, it's time to come off of that. The sixth thing is in Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 19. Would you read it with me? Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but what? Fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole world and the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which was given to me for you, how that by what? Revelation. Is that a deep thing? Yes. By revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written already, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit of his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. In this, he's talking about unifying. Unifying. In other words, in this revelation, in other words, he's saying there's a unity now coming. There's a oneness coming. So in this, it's a unity of the body and spirit, brings revelations of hidden things that produce a deeper life. And the seventh thing is in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 12. In Philippians 1, 12, would you read it? But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice. Yea, I what? I rejoice. And in this we are fighting, and Paul went through so many things in the area of fighting for the presence of God. And we must constantly maintain that area of fighting for his presence and don't give up. Don't give up. But maintain the words of life for a deeper life. Is everybody with me? Maintain the words of life for a deeper life. Why? Paul was out preaching the gospel, wasn't he? Those are called words of life. But continue that fight. Do not give up no matter what you're going through. Because so many people, on the seventh thing, which we know means complete and perfect, they give up. They quit. They say, that's it. I can't go no further. When you actually can. You actually can go that extra mile. Because sometimes God is requiring us to go the extra mile to go deeper. Is everybody okay? You must go the extra mile. You know, and the enemy knows exactly when God is just getting ready to release something to you in that deeper thing. And the enemy comes and does everything he can to prevent you from going that extra mile. Again, because if you have a deeper life, you are more dangerous. In Philippians 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 7. And this is the eighth thing, a new beginning. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things we don't want to do is compare yourself with somebody else. Has everybody got it? Because somebody may have an outward appearance of, oh, super spiritual man. God is dealing with you the way He needs to deal with you. He's dealing with you in every area, you know. And so many times, you know, in those borders that the Holy Spirit sets for us, and those boundaries and borders are set so that you stay away from people that are negative. You know, you stay away from people that are whiny. You know, people are always looking for excuses not to do the right thing or criticize those who do. Stay away. Is everybody okay? Because that will drain you, man. Amen. You hang around with people in that area. That's why the Bible says, come out from among them and be separate. You know, don't shut it down. Shut it down. Because that's all it'll do is plant corruptible seeds and so forth, and it'll just drain you. You know, we're supposed to expose certain things. Amen. We're supposed to expose darkness so light can come. But if you're hanging around with a brother or sister who's constantly whining and complaining and just smacking with the Bible. No, don't do that. Just intercede that fire come down on them. No, don't do that either. You know, but just depart from it. Eventually that person's going to go, why do you always walk away from me? Because you're a whiner, man. Because you're nothing but complaining, you're negative. Nothing comes out of your mouth but poop. And I don't want to hear it. Are you listening? Tell them. Don't be shy, but don't be nasty. Be nice. In a nice way. You know, I love you, but you know, what you speak is not edifying. What you speak is always bringing me down. I love you, I'd like to hang with you, but I can't. I don't like the music you listen to. I don't like the things that you're doing behind closed doors. And I'm not hanging with you. And my hope is that you'll get it right because I want to go deeper. And I know that God's got a storehouse for me of deep things. And your seeds are preventing me from going deeper. Hello. So everybody got it? Good. Philippians 3 and verse 7. Let's speak it. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Hallelujah. And be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know Him. That means that I may have a deeper knowledge of life, of what I don't see, that I may have a deeper life existence. that I may be found in him and not having my own righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ Jesus, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already attained it or am already perfected, but I press on. I want to go deeper. That I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself as apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, and let us be of the same mind. So everybody got it? 8 things that will help us go into a deeper life. It is required for a deeper life now. Things aren't getting better out there. They'll have a false prosperity and a false arena that things are beginning to get much better. But eventually the rug will also get pulled and things will change. So it's important that our life in Christ become deeper and that others see it. Amen? Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. We ask that the seed be protected and grow and bear fruit for your glory. And Lord, we do desire that area of a deeper walk, a deeper life, and deeper revelation. And Lord, whatever those boundaries and parameters that you have set up for us that we can walk in them, we ask that you'll make them known to us, that we cause no offense to you. And anywhere that we have a cause to offense you, we ask for your forgiveness and that you reestablish those things so that we may be pleasing to you, bringing glory to your name, expanding your kingdom, and be willing to die for you. In Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.